Here's the thing about communism. When it comes knocking at your door, it doesn't say, "Hi, I'm here to impoverish, enslave, and murder you." It says, "I'm here to liberate you from oppression."
I thought of myself as a happy kid. I had no idea that I was being brainwashed.
So the KGB agents would go into the church and then rise
up. That's right. All of them is infiltrated.
This was a rape of the body of Christ.
You take over the colleges of education, then you take over all the teachers, then you take over all the students, and thus you get the future.
He said the ultimate objective of having government school was to destroy Christianity. Those were his words.
People's war means to destroy the opposing country through unconventional methods.
And Khrushchev bragged about it. We'll take America without firing a shot.
In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of American students without being challenged. The result you can see.
Welcome to a Friday edition of the Unrefined Guys. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
And, well, you heard it. We're already the Unrefined Guys. That is, that sound that we heard in the beginning before our amazing intro music is from the trailer of an upcoming film called Beneath Sheep's Clothing, Exposing the Communist Infiltration into Our Churches and Schools. You have to watch the trailer. It's got some pretty good graphics into it. James Lindsay, who is a predominant Xer. I don't know what we call people like that.
Well, anyway, we have to put labels on everything.
Well, because that's where I learned about him, was from Twitter before it was X.
Oh, X. Oh.
He's got a PhD in math, which is really weird. But he talks about, well, he's featured in this film that talks about how communism has slowly infiltrated the United States. And when I first watched it last night, I was a little bit miffed.
Yeah.
Because
you're miffed because it's waking you up, or?
Well, yeah, it because it's so blatantly obvious that it's happening, and yeah, it's so blatant that it,
right, you see what the left is doing, and it's clear that that's what the move that they want to go to is to, you know, first socialism and then eventually,
right,
communism.
Well, something.
And a lot of these big, famous senators and congressmen, congresspeople, are
they're
openly
in on it.
They're openly communist.
Right. They won't say it. Yeah. One of the things it says in the trailer and writing, so you couldn't see it, is it says it's not when it comes, it's already here.
Yeah.
And you know, when you look objectively of what's happened to our institutions of higher learning, they're overrun by leftists who praise socialism and communism. And looking at it from that perspective, when you look at what has become of our institutions of higher learning, and it gets worse than that because it's also our public schools.
I was going to say it goes all the way down to middle school. I know of an example of when one of my kids was in middle school, the paper that they had to write was about Karl Marx and Marxism.
Like a positive, or?
They had to do a book report kind of thing. Hmm. And there's a book that Karl Marx put out way back when that, you know, talks about how to become communist and how communism works. And they had to write a paper on it. And I was like, well, I don't have a problem with you learning.
Sure.
About communism. I don't have a problem with that at all. I do have a problem that the teachers are pushing.
Starting to shove it down your throat. Yeah.
And glamorizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem. When I first watched that trailer last night, I thought, well, look, we knew that they've been pushing this little agenda for a while. But just from this trailer, what I was able to deduce from it is that, and of course, I hate those aha moments. They started in the colleges, and they've indoctrinated damn near everybody that's gone through them. Not everybody, obviously. And then those people go on to becoming teachers themselves in public schools and even in some private schools. And so now they're starting, when did they start indoctrinating our children? Because when we were in school, to the best of my knowledge, we did talk about Lenin. We did talk about Marx and
Stalin and
Stalin and communism. And even in the late 80s, early 90s, communism was still bad. And it was that's how we were looking at the vast differences of vast difference. Anyway, I'm a child. I'm such a damn child. I can't go 2 minutes without some kind of a damn joke. And it's always got to be a penis joke.
Dick joke.
So anyway, there's this huge difference about capitalism versus communism. And we learned about why communism couldn't work. Because the only way, and you'll hear people who want communism say, well, it's never been done correctly. Well, no, it's been done perfectly, and that's it, the outcome has been what it is. The only way to get communism or socialism to work perfectly the way it's supposed to is the entire world has to buy in on it, A, and B, the people who are the haves will exert their power on folks like us, the have-nots. And we will become serfs to them. And people don't grasp that that is exactly what Marx and Lenin both wanted.
Yeah.
Was
well, for even, the... even Hitler wanted
no,
that.
No, it Correct. Makes us all even.
It, all of us below the have.
Right.
Yeah.
There's this story that, and I'll probably mess this up a little bit, but a professor was in class teaching whatever the class was. I guess it's not important. And somebody bitched about the quizzes. They were too hard. And of course, they also brought up communism. It's not fair, yada, yada, yada. So the professor said, okay, here's what we're going to do for the entire semester. Every quiz will be a group effort. Nobody will fail. Nobody will pass. We will take the aggregate and average. Everybody will get that score. And everybody, not everybody, but most everybody was like, awesome.
Cool.
So the first quiz comes and a couple of, you know, good 97s, 98s.
Yeah.
And then a couple of Fs and then everybody in between. And realizing quickly, oh, the first quiz, well, everybody got a B plus, fucking A. And then the next quiz and the next quiz. And it slowly was going downward until the first major test. And by the time that major test came, it went from high B's into the mid C's, into the low C's. And that test, everybody got an F because that was the aggregate.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Well, what happened? Well, the people who weren't going to do the work didn't do the work.
Right.
And the people that busted their asses off and studied real hard were realizing that no matter how hard I study, that I'm not going to get that A because I'm being drugged down by these people. So why would I bother?
Yep.
And people think, or they'll say, well, that's not going to happen under communism. That's exactly what will happen in communism.
That's exactly how it works.
Because whether you're breaking stones in a quarry.
Right.
Or whether you're
working at a hospital.
Working at a hospital or painting lines on the streets or whatever. Everybody gets treated the same. Everybody gets the same pay. Everybody gets the same outcome. And eventually, people stop.
You no longer have doctors who specialize in anything.
Right.
What's the point of that?
What's the point in putting out all this effort if all I'm ever going to get is $5 a week or whatever that number is?
Whatever the amount is, yeah. It's a similar situation when I was working at this one place where they wanted to pool all the tips. Okay. So you pull all the tips, so everybody at the end of the night, they divvy it up between the 20 people that were working. Well, that's not fair to the ones that were really busting their asses, because they're the ones that earned most of those tips.
Right.
You know.
Whereas everybody else was out back smoking.
Perfect. You nailed it, because when I waited tables 25 plus years ago, we had to tip out the kitchen staff.
That is a standard practice in restaurants. And that one I get because the guys are back there busting their
hearts.
Agreed, 100%.
They don't get the access to the tips.
Right. So I didn't mind that, but it's probably about 3 months into this gig, it was, okay, instead of each of us tipping out and I think the average was about 15% or 20%, whatever, you know, of the tips. Everybody decided they wanted to throw their money in together, tip them out that way, and then split the rest of the tips. And I said the same thing you're saying. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I treat my customers differently right. than you treat yours. I'm not saying you do it badly, but I also know that, you know, if I can make these kids happy,
right,
I'm going to get a better tip because I'm going to provide that good service.
Make
I'm going
to keep, laugh.
Yeah, I'm going to make folks, you know,
yeah.
you entertain the kids and the parents are going to bless you most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, when you, you know, are scheduled in back in the day, the smoking area where only the older folks go sit and they only come and have coffee and a piece of pie and they sit for 2 hours, you're only going to get a few tips, but you chose to work there.
Yep.
And now I'm going to suffer for it eventually. And obviously that only happened twice before the owner was like, yeah, no,
yeah.
we're not doing this.
So yeah. The job that I had was, so it came from above. Mm. You know, you need to pull the tips and then split it between the employees. Well, we had, like I said, there was 20 of us and we all pretty much did the same job. All right. But there was only 5 of us that actually busted their hump and earned the tips. So what happens in that situation, in the tip situation, which is a lot like communism and/or socialism when you're pulling the tips, is the ones that, like myself, that were busting my hump, I wouldn't report all the tips.
Of course.
I only got $2 from this guy. So mm-hmm. here's $1. Or here's $2.
Especially if it's in cash.
But, you know, it was like $20.
Right.
Yeah. So, right. yeah. Well, most of the time it was in cash because yep. the
Back
business
then.
That we ran was just, you know, it was just cash tips. I was working as a valet.
Right.
And when I became the supervisor of this valet service, I did away with the pooling of tips, which I caught hell from above.
Sure.
But it was the fair way to do it. Those 5 people that were busting their hump and they're walking out with $50-$60 a day, the other people are whining about these guys making so much money. And I was like, well, there's a way you can beat that.
Guess what? Get out of the back office and go run some damn cars.
Yeah.
Run the cars. Be a good steward of the customer's
be
needs.
Customer service. Do that.
Be polite. Open their doors.
Yeah. yeah. Help them in with their stuff. Whatever it was.
The thing about people today is they've forgotten or didn't know about the communism that existed in the USSR, in, you know, Vietnam, in all of these areas where, oh, communism's great. Well, if it's so great, why is it not in existence today?
Yeah.
Because in Russia, they couldn't feed people because nobody wanted to work and they didn't have to.
Because so the government will feed.
Eventually, when the bread lines came, you began to have to ration the food that they gave you freely before. There it is again. Shows up on once a show. And so when these folks go to the bread lines or the cheese lines or yeah. whatever, there wasn't. You were getting moldy bread. You were getting moldy cheese because there was nobody available.
Yeah.
To do the work. And if nobody does the work, it's going to collapse. Now, listen, Karen made a great point on Monday's show about, you know, at some point, it just fell out of my head. I lost the whole thing. You had made a great point about working and taking pride in what we do.
Right.
It'll come back to me. But, you know, when you move into a system of communism, it's going to flourish for a very, very short time.
Just like you were talking about with the tests.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be in the high Bs.
Once I realized that it doesn't matter what effort I put in, and I'd personally like to think, yeah, that's not my style. I have work ethic. I take pride in my work. How long would that last?
Right.
And I asked myself that. I'm looking inward. I can't imagine that it would last for very long. Maybe a year. When I realized that no matter what I do, the person next to me or down the street or whatever, they're doing nothing and they're being treated equally.
Yeah.
As if they'd done yep. something.
Even the most words are hard today. even the, and this isn't the word I was looking for, but the most self-starting person, the most
yeah
that wants to go out and overachiever and do all the things
motivated,
even motivated. Thank you. Even the person most motivated to go out and be the best and do the thing. Once they realize that it doesn't matter what you do,
right?
you're not any better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm. And then
you stop trying.
Exactly. It takes away
your... You're just going to stop trying.
Yeah. It takes away your urge or your want to be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about...
Why should I?
Right.
Why should I bother? It really does promote laziness.
It absolutely does.
You know, where the capitalist model promotes the person that works the hardest or puts more work into it, they benefit from that work eventually.
Right.
Now, when I say that, when I'm saying about that, and I mean it eventually, you have to keep going.
Find the model that works for
you.
Yeah,
and eventually it'll pay off for you.
Right.
It might take a few years, but I'd rather have that struggle than be on the same plane as the guy next to me.
Who does nothing.
Does nothing, yeah. Exactly.
We look at, you know, the example of... like this podcast. We started this podcast with a vision. We have continually evaluated it. We have molded it. We have constructed it. And we're constantly doing that.
And we're not sitting back and...
Yeah, we're not just sitting back and relying on the status quo. And, well, you know, it's not where we'd like it to be, but we know that if we continue to put in the work that we can get there. The equality, this whole equity bullshit that's being shoved down our throats is all a scam to get us comfortable with that. Well, everybody's going to have the same outcome. Well, that's not reality.
No.
Because if I train as hard as person Z... And I work as hard as person Z, I may not still be able to run the marathon,
right.
But person Z could. I just, for whatever reason, but if I do the work and continue to work as hard as person Z, it's possible that I could.
Yeah.
This promise of outcome is what's really screwing people up. Well, everybody should be able to have the same exact and do the same exact. Well, that doesn't work.
Yeah, we're supposed to be equal. We're not, though.
We should have equality of what is it? Equality of
compensation?
Not compensation, but
we're all equal. We all have the same rights.
Right.
You know, that's the way our Declaration of Independence was written. We all have the equal rights.
Right.
We're not all equal.
No, you can do things that I absolutely
right.
can't.
And vice versa, right? Yeah. And Karen can do female things that we can't do,
or that I don't want to do.
That's fair,
And that is fair.
Some people wants to do something I don't want to do, and I'll do something they don't want to.
Yeah, that's like we were talking about on Monday show with the migrants with Tyson. I don't want to do that fucking job.
I don't know many people that do.
I don't mind hunting, but that's different than having a conveyor belt of animals
carcasses
coming in,
just flowing.
You have to pop them in the coconut with a air hammer.
Can you imagine the PTSD from that job?
I can only imagine. I mean, that's why they rotate them out.
Right.
They don't leave them on that same job over and over again. But that would fuck with you after a while.
I would imagine. Look, you know,
either that or you're a sociopath. So.
There's only so many times you can take a live thing and make it unalive and be like, hmm. And we know some of those exist.
They are.
They're called politicians.
Or liberal females.
Well, same thing. And unfortunately, some conservative females, too.
Did you see that Colorado just passed a bill or put it into law that abortion's good up until 9 months?
I didn't know it had been signed. I knew they were pushing they were pushing, and I guess it's passed, what was being touted as up to birth abortions.
Yeah.
And so now it's law.
See if it's actually passed.
Right now, it's Colorado, and the conservatives in Colorado governments are not enough to be able to filibuster or offer challenges. Basically, conservatives in Colorado are just there to be... deterrence, right. Like speed bumps to slow things down a little bit.
Well, and they don't slow down a fucking thing. That's
well,
for
no,
sure.
No.
I mean, because there's not that many of them. So it just goes right past them. I mean, they can do their votes of no.
Right.
But it's not enough to
and they
make
can,
a change.
They can, you know, do their best to slow it down, but they know it eventually is going to happen.
But I'm not against abortion per se.
Mm-hmm.
We've had this discussion before. I personally don't care for abortion. I don't believe in abortion personally.
Right.
But I still believe that I can't tell you, whoever you are,
sure,
what you should be doing. I don't believe that.
I'm kind of similar to you.
So if, but it, there's got to be caveats. And I think 9 months, that's too fucking late.
You know,
Karen and I were discussing this. If a fetus can survive outside the woman's womb.
Now it's murder.
Yeah. That is straight up murder.
I'll call it murder.
If you look at, and I can't remember.
You can take that baby out and let it, and it can live.
I can't remember the governor of Virginia's name before Youngkin, which is such a weird name. I like to say it, though. Youngkin. Chunkin' Youngkin. Remember Punkin' Chunkin'?
Yeah.
Anyway, before.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. Sorry. The governor before Youngkin, and I think this is part of the reason why he's not the governor anymore. When they were discussing the partial birth abortion bills, and I don't know if that was what it was called, he literally was asked, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly, asked if the baby came out, or let me rephrase it, if they knew that the child was very likely going to have Down syndrome, would it then be okay to abort that child after it was born? And this guy said something to the effect of, in those rare circumstances, it would be okay to for the mother to give birth and to ensure that the mother was safe and rare, and then they could discuss it.
Yeah.
Aborting the child after it had been birthed.
That's not abortion.
No, that's murder.
That's murder.
Well, California has a law where it's 3 months after birth.
After birth to abort a child?
Yeah.
I would like to look that up because that seems a bit fucking...
I'm not 100% on it, but it was something like that.
That seems disturbing.
It is.
And
you but know, in their flawed logic, it's all right.
Well, it's the liberal logic.
I'm okay with some of these fucking liberals if we can abort them.
Could we
them
abort
now?
You at 52? I mean... There was a movie.
Tribe has spoken.
Right? You've been voted off the earth. I remember as a kid, I don't remember how old I was. We went to church a lot. And they showed a movie called The Silent Scream.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I remember only being able to watch about a little bit of it because once that camera went where it went.
Yeah.
And they started the I was mortified.
Yes. I remember that.
And
not that you were mortified,
right,
but I remember what you're talking about.
That I could not watch it. I remember I was young, and I remember being just devastated that they could do that. And so I think that probably, look, you know, call it shock value, shock content, whatever you want to call it, it worked.
Yeah.
In me, and so I said, Lab, I think abortion is wrong. As I grew up, I don't want to say I matured, because let's be honest.
No, you know, yeah.
As I grew up, I started to think of, look, I was the guy who a girlfriend or a, you know, acquaintance or whatever would come to me and say, listen, so-and-so is in a pickle.
Oh, yeah.
Or the pickle was in
so-and-so. I think
so-and-so.
Between me and you, we've driven friends to abortion clinics.
And there was one particular girl that I took three times in a matter of about 2 years. And I pulled over the last time and I said, why does this not? Because it's just a clump of tissue. And for some reason that hit me. And I thought, you know, I believe in my heart of hearts that abortion is wrong, like you.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily, and I, like you, I also feel like, look, it's your body. You're the one that's got to live with that. And if you can, then good on you.
It's your conscience and it's your right.
Your moral, you know, whatever. As I grew a little more, I started to think, you know, there is occasion, very rare, but there's occasion where it could be necessary for the health and life of the mother, incest, rape, etc. They're very rare that those happen.
Yeah, that's not an everyday occurrence.
Right. So I started to
and when that does happen, I'm okay with the idea of an abortion if it's rape and incest.
and that's where I think we're different, but it's just semantics.
Well, yeah, no, it is. It's still there, right?
Right.
But exactly. It's easier for me to accept a situation where it's rape or incest.
But there's ways to take care of that before it even becomes an issue.
Well, now there is, yes. There's a plan B.
There's a morning after pill. Yeah. You know,
many people look at that morning after pill as abortion.
And okay, fine.
I look at it as another form of contraceptive. You know,
sure.
So, sorry, Karen.
I think the way I look at this is that we have fallen so far from grace, and I use that term purposefully, that the model of safe. Oh, how's the word I'm wanting to come up? Safe, legal, and rare. No, that's not the right wording. I had it all there. But safe and rare were the big terms when they pushed this abortion thing back in our younger days. And it's not rare anymore. It's not. And look, sure, it's safer than it used to be. And, you know, the big liberals will tell you, well, if you ban it, they're risking people's lives because then they'll back alley whatever drill in a coat hanger. Well, they don't make hangers metal anymore, so that's out. I don't know of many that could get one of them plastic anyway.
No.
So, you know, I was all for and am all for what the Supreme Court did because based on the Constitution, the federal government has way too many laws that impede on the state's rights.
Exactly.
Firearms, big no-no. ATF should not exist.
I agree.
Probably just put us on a list. And in the case of abortion with Roe v. Wade, I think the Supreme Court got it right. That should be a state's rights issue. Now, one could make the argument because some states have adopted wildly weird laws. California, for instance, will, let's say Colorado's not, let's say you're from Oklahoma,
right,
and they've got anti-abortion right laws, Texas as well, where after a certain amount of time it's illegal. And if you leave the state to do it, you can still be charged in those two states with conspiracy, I believe. And California has said if you come here, it's sanctuary, we will protect you. Now, here's where it gets weird, and this is in the weeds, right? But it probably, well, we know it's happened in Texas with a trans issue, which is different. You and Karen live in Oklahoma. You guys, you know, you hook up, things are great. She's pregnant. She's 3 or 4 months pregnant, and it doesn't work. She says, piss on you. If we're not together, I'm going to scramble this out. We're going to have an abortion. That's that. You don't want that. So she runs from Oklahoma to California. Could, and this is extreme, but could Oklahoma then send a posse, if you will, to California to recover Karen by any means necessary and bring that child or bring her back before that happens?
So I'm looking up the California stuff, and they have passed laws this year saying no.
But who's going to stop Oklahoma from sending in the posse? Because
that's now California is a sanctuary state for abortions.
And Colorado's headed that way.
I see that happening.
Yeah.
So I think if you were that person, you could probably go to a medical provider in California and say, hey, I think they're going to come and get me, and I need asylum or sanctuary or whatever.
They'll put you in a safe house, which won't even provide for victims of domestic violence half the time. But if you were going to abort a kid, by God, we'll protect you.
We're going to change, you know.
In Texas, there's just recently, last year, a father he's lost the lawsuit. The state of Texas, transing your children is not entirely illegal, but when they were divorcing, the judge gave the wife the ability to trans the child if she so chose. She did. He files suit. She runs off to California and has commenced the transition process on a 10-year-old child.
10 or 11.
I don't remember if it was male or female. It doesn't matter. In Texas, he's still fighting to try and stop her. Well, it's already started. Here's the problem you run into. Once you start, the farther along you are, the more difficult it becomes coming off. we're already seeing the problems with kids. As recently as last week, London medical boards have all come out and said these puberty blockers should have never been used on children.
They
and here's
them.
The problem that they've come to, and they are now banned in England.
And apparently there's a few other countries in Europe that are all going to be following suit because they've done the same research with the colleges in London and in England. And they're like, okay, you're right. We need to back off of it. But one country that's not going to back off of it is us. It's the U.S. So
it's because there's several reasons.
And Big Pharma's involved.
Big Pharma is the biggest lobbyist in the country. They are padding the pockets of our politicians.
Well, I bet that was hard to say.
I had to think about it. they're padding the pockets of the politicians precisely for the problem that we're precipitating with... I can't find another P. But anyway,
puberty pluckers. Oh,
puberty pluckers. So they, as long as Big Pharma is padding the politicians' pockets.
Hey, wow.
Three. I'm not going to try for the fourth. They will always win. And I'm about to go on a tangent, so I'm going to stop. It's money and money only that is the reason that they're allowing this to happen, because a minority of people are going through this trans thing. In the last, I think I read 3 or 5 years, I don't recall, there's been a 2,500% increase of kids
they've made
claiming to be trans.
They've made it popular. They've made it fashionable. And that's the problem with it.
Social contagion.
Oh, yeah.
Social contagion through and through. Just like previously TikTok, you started to see this increase of people with Tourette's. Now, Tourette's is an incredibly rare disease.
Yeah.
Early on in social media, before TikTok was really big, there was a gentleman in England somewhere. I can't remember his name. I think it was Q or something like that. He had made a channel to kind of highlight Tourette's.
To normalize it. Yeah.
And the problem that happened was suddenly this minuscule tenth of a percentage of the human population who could get Tourette's now suddenly blew up.
Oh, yeah. Now there's hundreds of thousands of people.
And most of them are what? Teenage girls.
Right.
When you look at the trans explosion that's happened, a majority of those that are transing are female, teenage, and what they're starting to find more and more is they're on the spectrum as well.
Yeah.
Now, we're not doctors. We don't claim to be. But when you see an explosion like this happen in a short amount of time, you need to go digging for the root cause. And the root cause is, and I'm not a researcher, nor have I really dug into this, but I'm pretty smart. I'm just kidding. I'm not. The reason for the explosion is because the politicians have turned their noses and said, go ahead, pharma, do what you need to do to make lifelong customers. And we're going to catch hate, but that's never stopped us before. This trans movement is part of this plan. There's a lot of P's going on. This plan to move America towards away from capitalism and into the socialist communist realm. Think back when we were young. A lot of people went to church.
Yeah.
When you went to church, that was
a normal, and where we grew up. It was the one thing about our hometown is there's two bars on every street and a church on every other corner. It's pretty much the way it is. So it was normal for us to party all night on Saturday, wake up, and go to church on Sunday.
Smelling like a brewery.
Well, most of the church did. It wasn't just us. Anyway, so that it was normal back then. Well, one thing during the pandemic is they shut down the churches.
Not the weed shops, though.
No. Or the liquor stores. Or the bars.
They got
the bars got...
Yeah, just depended.
Yeah.
How much tax money you provided to the city of...
whatever city, liking. Yeah.
Well, I think we talked about this either last week or the week before. When Governor Polis initially shut it down, weed stores were part of the shutdown.
Yeah.
That lasted just about 36 hours.
I was going to say less than 2 days.
It was. He did this at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday, I believe. Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
The lines of the weed stores all in the metro area were incredible. And then later, or maybe it was less than 24 hours, later that day, I believe it was a Friday, so it had to have been Thursday when he announced it, he modified it and said that the weed stores could stay open. Now, in my mind at the time, I went, that's weird.
All right.
But then it made sense because the amount of taxes being charged on marijuana.
Oh, gosh.
Bring this state a lot of money. Oh, by the way. In 2012, when Colorado voted to legalize recreational marijuana, that money was supposed to be used for schools, education, and public safety and roads, right? It's made over a billion, not pillion, which would be a papillion dog or papilla or whatever they are, billions of dollars,
yeah.
And there's been no increases in anything. There's this pothole I roll over every day on my way to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and their excuse of why I didn't go to the schools was the federal government said, no, it's still illegal. You can't fund schools, which are legally or federal government's supporting. Right. You can't fund schools with illegal
drug
activity.
Money. Which is funny because banks, when the weed industries first came to be in Colorado, the banks wouldn't allow them to deposit their money. So it was a cash flow business. And I had some friends who worked in the transportation business of said money, and they were hauling bank,
yeah,
like huge Millions. Bank, yeah, daily,
yeah.
And then people were literally just storing this cash in their house
or storage units
or whatever, yeah. And so somehow Colorado and the feds got together and figured out a way to allow it to be, but to allow that to be normalized, but a church. And we talk about politics, yes, but we talk about culture.
Yeah.
And when we were growing up, part of our culture was we socialized with a lot of those people that we went to church with.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about how on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, everybody's doors were open and the kids were out playing in the street and all the kids were playing together and you could hear it. And you know, during the pandemic, it wasn't as much as it used to be. But, you know, you'd still hear dogs and people and whatnot. And now, we're 3 years out of it. I can open the door on any given day when it's nice out and you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
There's no people.
Occasional car going by.
Once in a while, maybe somebody walking their dog. But,
well, luckily in our neighborhood, you can open the windows and the doors, and we have enough younger,
right,
or our age adults, I guess, and they have younger kids. Mm-hmm. So we do get to hear kids' laughter, people having fun outside, and it's kind of nice. You know, in your neighborhood, I've very rarely seen it.
This is embarrassing. I just learned the neighbor next door, directly next door to me's name.
Yeah, well.
And I've been here for 5 years, and I didn't learn it from them.
I learned it from
a neighbor across the street.
I don't know any but one of our neighbors' name. I don't know any. Yeah. So
what has become?
I'm friendly
society?
With them. Well, sure. You know, but I only know one person's name.
But do you remember? I knew every neighbor's name.
Oh, yeah.
I knew almost everybody on the entire block. I also knew how much they paid to mow their lawn and how much they paid to shovel the snow off their walk. And I prioritized them based on who paid the most, just because I wanted to get the most money I could right away.
Well,
in case I didn't have enough time to get to it that day.
And we also knew the elderly people on our block.
Right.
And we'd just do theirs. And not
those
even
got dead. Those were dead first. Yeah. I should have. And then we went to the money fest, but we knew everybody.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed and I still feel a little bit uneasy about the fact that it never dawned on me that I didn't know this guy's name.
Well, it's not unheard of nowadays.
It isn't. It's
a little sad, but at the same time, it's not unheard
of. What else is sad is that churches more and more are becoming almost niche. Now, the Catholic churches still do pretty well, But yeah. Catholicism is, and I'm not saying this from a place of experience or expertise, but typically Catholicism is rooted in tradition. It's rooted in, you know.
There's a lot of traditions.
It's very ritualistic, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, you know, other churches aren't quite as so regimented. So the Catholic Church is still doing well. And let's be honest, this Pope, he's not exactly papal.
Right.
You know, here's a Pope who is saying we're going to bless same-sex marriages. Controversial, I know. But we're also going to tolerate transgenderism.
Right.
We're going to...
Well, it's pretty sad when the Catholic Church is bending to whatever...
The whims of society.
Whims.
I'm
okay with them blessing gay marriage.
I am too. But they're not doing the ritual. They're simply saying we are, you know, praying for you to have a fulfilling life as a couple. They're not performing the marriages, but... We go through these phases in society, and I'm fearful that this is part of the big plan from somebody.
Well, yeah, when we start
tear us apart,
when we start putting our guards down, and we start accepting some of these things like the transgenderism, and there's a few other things. Mm-hmm. When we start accepting this stuff, and we start putting our guard down, we do let ourselves become easy targets for communism and socialism, where we're. Because in communism, you're allowed to still believe what you believe. You're still allowed your churches.
But the state is your church. The state is your God.
Yes. Yeah.
That's, if people don't wake up now, and again, I'm not trying to gloom and doom this. We did really good on Monday. We kept it upbeat and lively, and I'm not wanting to gloom and doom this because I do believe that we can turn this mother trucker around.
Oh, we can. And I think, luckily... I believe that a lot of people have opened their eyes and they see this shit that's happening and they're willing to change it.
Well, and you know,
and that's why we're getting such resistance from the parties, because they see that we finally pulled the blinders off and saw what they're really trying to do to us and I'm talking mm-hmm. both sides of
sure.
the aisle. I'm not signaling one out. There's a lot of Democrats that I know are like, you know, we're sick of this shit too.
Right.
Know? We're sick and tired of the division that we've been put into.
Well, it seems like we somehow smack this hi-hat symbol every show about it's okay to hang out with people that you disagree with. It used to be so common that, you know, there was this saying when we were growing up, there were several things you just didn't talk about.
Right.
Politics and religion were top of the list. Unless you knew that you could have a civilized debate and share ideas without becoming, you know, getting to the name calling and families being shattered because of it. You know, people blame Trump's first presidency on families breaking down and friendships not being anymore. But the point of it was that started way before.
Yeah, that wasn't Trump.
Under Obama, it became extremely divisive based on race, based on beliefs in many things, political or not, based social classes. You know, I mean, we had a cop who's considered blue collar get called out onto the carpet by the president of the United States for doing his job, but it also entailed that it was a upper class black professor that had to be addressed. And instead of looking at the whole situation and saying it was an unfortunate event that didn't matter about race, he made it about race and he made it about class. And ever since then, it's just continued to unravel.
Right.
And we have the ability to put our finger on that string and stop the unraveling. And I think where we're at today, we've talked about how 2020 wasn't a referendum because we love Biden. It was a referendum because they didn't like Trump.
Right.
And now when the same two clowns are running again, people are going to start to say, well, wait a minute. Okay, now I know what both of them do. Can I handle four more years of what we're currently doing? Or will it get worse? Because let's be honest, it hasn't gotten better.
Right.
As a matter of fact, just last week, you saw the gas prices take about a, I think it was a 12 or 15% jump.
Right.
Or do we go back to where we were in 2019, where I don't like it when the man opens his mouth?
But
the economy's good. We aren't fighting any wars. Our tax dollars aren't funding all these wars around the world. And we aren't knocking on the doorstep of getting ready to put our feet, our boots on the ground in somebody else's war.
Right.
We have NATO troops right now being prepared to deploy to the European, I'm sorry, to the Ukrainian-Russian conflict. If you think for a second there aren't already troops there.
Oh, that's what I've been saying for 2 years now, since or however long the war's been going on.
We know there's troops.
I know we have special services, mm-hmm. special forces over there training and right. helping and doing some things. Because let's face it, let's be realistic, some of this, the raids or whatever you want to call it, the fights that Ukraine has put up,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if Russia really wanted to, they could have just stormed in there like we did in Iraq.
Them off the map.
Like we did in Iraq on the first Desert Storm. They could have easily done that to Ukraine. They haven't because they've been picking away.
Mm-hmm.
But the resistance that they're getting, the strong resistance that they're getting from the Ukrainian government, I don't believe it was from their training. I believe it was us and Great Britain and Germany mm-hmm. and these other Western countries that are training their troops and helping them
right.
with the resistance that they're giving. Given Russia.
Ukraine, you know, we don't hear this stuff on the news. We don't see it on the nightly news. We see Ukraine is winning, Ukraine is winning. Well, if Ukraine was winning, then why are they conscripting 60-year-old men? Why have they blocked all of the passports of all the males 75 and under
yeah.
out of Ukraine, and they're not letting them flee the country.
But they let all the women out.
But all the women and children are headed out. Well, because they're not doing as good as everybody says. Let's be honest. 160 or 140, depending on what model you look at, $1 billion has gone over to Ukraine. Now, people make the argument, not all of it was cash. Correct, it wasn't. Some of it was munitions. Some of it was weapons. I get it. But we can't even account for the cash that's gone over there.
No.
And there's billions of dollars that have been, it's a money, same, money laundering operation.
We had the same problem in Iraq.
Exactly.
When we first were at war with Iraq, we didn't have anybody, special whatever committee that was watching where the funds mm-hmm. were going. So the money just disappeared. Trillions of dollars, you know, just gone.
Fleeced.
And same thing's happening in Ukraine. I just want to point out how fishy it is that Zelensky and his wife go out and buy a $25 million yacht.
Oh, did they buy a yacht?
Yeah.
I knew they had a 30-some million-dollar mansion they just bought somewhere.
Yeah, they bought that, too. So where's that money coming from, y'all?
Our tax dollars.
So we should be able to Airbnb that shit, right?
If
since we funded it.
if listen, we know that a good portion of Americans still get their indoctrination and information from nightly news.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it's true. But the people that are getting their news from reputable independent journalists need to start standing up now, because I think there's enough of us. I really believe this. If we all get on the same page and say, okay, if you continue to vote to send our money, our tax dollars over to these other countries, we are not going to keep you, and we're going to get rid of you.
Yep.
And once we do this, I believe then we'll have their attention. Are we going to be able to fundamentally change Washington, D.C.? I don't think so.
No.
I just don't. The bureaucracy is going to stay.
It's a disease that has massatized itself to the marrow of that area. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
That whole system is
fucked.
Well, and most people like us that think we have a brain and common sense don't want anything to do with Washington.
Think about this. You're on the right track there. Back when this whole experiment first got underway, who are the average people that went to Congress and Senate and ran for president? Farmers.
Landowners. Yeah.
Landowners. Small business owners. They'd go to Washington, D.C. They'd do their terms, whatever they were then, and they got back home. They did what they needed to do for a couple of
their sessions. Yeah. They were required to go to D.C., but then they'd go back home and they'd hear from their constituents what they needed to fix, what they wanted, what they, whatever. And
right.
They go back to D.C. for the next session and say, this is what my people are wanting.
There was a great video that I saw that warmed my heart. There was a politician. I don't remember where he was from, who he was, anything like this. The point is more about what he talked about, though, is he explained, he's talking on the floor of whatever house that was, and he's explaining that he doesn't agree with some law that they're doing. He just doesn't, he doesn't like it, but he went down to, or he went to his constituents. He listened to what they said, and they voted differently than he did.
Yeah.
And he went and explained to the people on the floor that they're not doing what their constituents want them to. They're doing what the lobbyists want them to. And he wants to have a clean conscience in doing what he's supposed to. I thought I could find it, but I can't. But I was impressed because that's what a politician is supposed to be doing. Those people of the in the House of Representatives are supposed to represent you and I.
Right.
And unfortunately, the only people they're representing is the lobbyists.
Yeah, you can usually find out who they're in the pockets of.
Well, you know,
if you do write your congressman or your senator, you can find out real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because they will, you know, if you're, for example, they're trying to do a flavor ban on vape and tobacco products.
All nicotine products, right?
Yeah, they're trying to ban all the flavors, which I don't know how I feel about it, being a person that vapes. I do want the freedom of choice.
Sure.
And if you put it in just vape shops where they can control it, it's like a liquor store. You have to be this age, you have to be 21 to even go in there.
Right.
Then it should be, I could have whatever flavor I want. It's like a liquor store. I can get whatever the fuck I want once I go in there. If I'm of the age, it's my choice.
Right.
You know, but banning all these flavors, and they're going to say it's for the kids. And I say bullshit because
kids aren't supposed to be vaping.
So I wrote, you're not 21. You're not supposed to have this, but I'm not saying that they still can't get it. They made it impossible to get it online anymore because of all the laws and regulations. Okay. I go to my store though, and I can get it anyway. So I wrote our congressman, Michael Bennett.
Bennett damn near broke it.
And I hate this guy, but he's one of the people I needed to send this letter to. And it's, you know, it was pretty much a scripted pre-printed letter that I was just signing my name to. I got a response back from his
staff
office.
Yeah.
And it was, you could tell it was pre-printed you misunderstand what's going on. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm paraphrasing what it said. You're buying into whatever the vaping community wants you to believe. That we're here for your best interests. We're here to protect you. Trust me. And I'm paraphrasing all this. I mean, that's not exactly what it said, but that's the way I read it. I'm like, look, motherfucker, I told you I don't want you to do this.
I'm an adult. I don't need your protection.
Over the hill, or I'm at the summit.
You're at the peak.
And I'm telling you, this is the way I see we should do it. And I think this is the way it will work. You're okay with liquor fucking stores, but you're not okay with me going to a vape shop and doing the same thing at a liquor store.
Right.
How is that fair?
Liquor
and
lobby
how is
pays
it different?
More.
That, and so I wrote a letter back myself saying, well, you just proved to me whose pocket you're in. So you're obviously in the pocket of big tobacco because they're the ones that want this to happen because this hurts them big time.
Oh yeah.
So you just proved to me where you are and I will not be voting for you in the next election. The response I got back was, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'll do my best. I'll look over all the data. And I'm like, no, shut up.
Michael Bennett
shut up.
Was a friend of, was it Governor Owens? Not Owens, I'm sorry.
Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper. And was it Hickenlooper that appointed him, or was it the guy before him who only ran one term?
The guy before him.
I can see his face. I just can't remember. Ritter.
Yeah.
Ritter came in, and to understand Colorado politics a little bit, Ritter was a Democrat. And this is right about the same time that the current Governor Polis and all bunch of rich millionaire business people decided to take Colorado from a purple state and change it to very blue.
Very.
And Ritter didn't want to play the game with them because he saw that it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. Not that it wasn't fair, but it wasn't right what they were doing. It was legal.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't have been done. And Ritter fought against it, and he was told, you better just bow out. So he only ran for one term. Wasn't a huge fan of his.
No, me neither.
But I admired his tenacity, and he stuck to his morals.
Well, in his, I remember when he ran, he's like, if I run and you guys don't want me, and if you make it clear that you guys don't want me back, mm-hmm. I'll bow out. And that's what he did.
Right. You know, when I look at these politicians...
So I respect a Democrat that can do that.
Absolutely. I respect any politician, frankly. You know, when you look at Colorado politics, it's indicative of politics everywhere. But last week, Donald Trump clinched the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party, as did Joe Biden. And Ken Buck, who was the, I don't remember, fourth congressional district in Colorado. So he...
Not a fan of him.
But. I never was, even though he said he was Republican. He's just, look, we say it all the time. There's the right and the left, but they're the wing on the same bird.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're all going the same direction. He had decided that he was going to retire. He wasn't going to run again after this term. And once Trump clinched, Buck decided on Wednesday afternoon that he was done immediately. His last day was Friday of last week. And everybody was like, well, he just, you know, I'm starting to see, because of something he said that in an interview after he had announced that was it. It's all a game. He was basically stamping his feet.
Yeah.
Because he's a never Trumper. And he said, wait until you see the next couple of retirements. And at first it just seemed like a harmless comment. But if you think about this, this is a big conspiracy theory, but I don't think it's too far-fetched. Right now in the House, the Republicans hold a very slim majority. Right. I believe the number's 5 or 6.
Yeah.
After Buck leaves, that makes it 5-ish. Mike Johnson is currently the Speaker of the House. Now, follow me for a minute. About 2 weeks ago, a left congressperson, I don't recall who it was, said something to the effect of, if the Democrats gain control of the House, we will not accept the results if Trump is the winner.
Yeah.
My conspiracy mind...
Yeah, they're going to pull a January 6th.
Started rolling. It's going to be a little bit different. But yes, here's what I think. So Buck starts the Buck stopped there, except it started there. He retires. That takes one away from the majority.
Yeah.
They're going to hold a special election to fill his slot. And
seat. Let's just call it a seat.
Seat, slot.
Fill his slot.
Plug his hole, whatever.
It feels a little dirty.
Yeah, well... It's been a while. So they hold a special election. It's Colorado.
Yeah. It's going to be a Democrat.
The likeliness is that it'll likely be a Democrat. Though you have Boebert running for that seat.
Is it same?
I believe it's the same seat. If she runs in the special election, it could confuse people that she's also running for the seat. So let me try and dumb this down in my head so I can say it right. If she runs in the special election, she has to vacate her position now.
Okay.
To run for that spot.
Which would that cause another special election for her seat?
It would.
Okay.
So it'll also confuse people because she'll have to run again very quick. It's a big mess. But think about this. Take that out of the equation. So Buck leaves. Let's say three more go.
No, then we're fucked.
Well, think about it. How many Republican votes did not vote for Mike Johnson? Quite a few.
Yeah. It was like 17, wasn't it?
Or 15? Yeah, 17 or 15. Yeah. Well, now you've taken it down.
Yeah.
Say you lose four seats out of the majority. Now you've only got a couple.
Yeah, we already know that there's a bunch of rhinos in there.
If somebody calls to vacate the chair, which all it takes is one person to start the vote, the Democrats could easily, with the minority, put in Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker of the House quickly. Then we have the election in November. Let's say Trump wins. January 6th, 7th, whatever date it is that they're supposed to
confirm
the vote, they could say, we're not going to accept these results and call in an alternate electors. Now, far-fetched?
No.
A few years ago, I'd have thought, well, that's a stretch.
Right?
No.
But after everything we've lived over for the last
3 years.
Five to 8 years.
Well, since Trump was first in office.
That's true.
They almost did it then. They cried. We cried. They're going to cry again.
He got impeached twice. Yeah. So listen, how far-fetched is it really? If Buck's already gone, if two or three more leave, that majority dwindles even more. The Republicans are the worst about getting shit done when they are the majority because they can't agree on anything.
No. They're like truck drivers.
They're like a gaggle of preschoolers trying to decide whether they want pizza or chicken nuggies.
I want nuggies on my pizza.
That should scare the hell out of everybody. I think you could do that, actually, as long as you didn't put pineapple on the nuggies.
I don't know. I'm okay with pineapple.
On your nuggies?
Yeah.
You don't want them in your noogie?
I don't want them in my noogie.
No. Yeah, so it bothers me. These are the things that I think about, which I never used to be like this. Until about
May
8 13th. Years ago.
I was going to say May 13th.
Well, May 13th, you made me think of it a whole lot more often. It'd be occasions before we started this podcast where I'd go down a little hole here and there. I'd think about politics here and there. And, you know, back when Trump was running against Hillary, I started paying a lot more attention. Yeah. It's not like I was...
That's the one...
I wasn't naive to it.
That was the election that I really watched.
Yeah.
Because I was curious to what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put out right there, be honest, I didn't think he was going to win.
I didn't either.
I saw the power and the movement that she had until she didn't bother with Michigan, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. or Minnesota, which were the three states that she really needed to win. And because she didn't bother going to those states, they were like, well, fuck you. We're not going to vote for you.
I honestly believe.
But I really thought she was going to be the president.
I thought she was going to run... Back when Barack did.
Well, she did.
Well, yeah, but I thought she was going
to
win.
So did I, to be honest with you. But he was obviously the one that the DNC wanted.
Or somebody wanted.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, the fact that he went from councilman in whatever in Chicago, and then he went all of a sudden he was a representative, mm-hmm. and then next thing you know, he's a senator.
One-term senator.
Right, and then boom, he's running for president.
So
he was obviously groomed for the whole job.
I don't remember which... DNC,
I don't remember which one it was, but I remember him giving
this speech. Gave a good speech for the George W. versus, was it Kerry?
I believe it was, yeah.
I think so. He gave the I don't know what the hell they call those things.
Yeah.
But for
When he gave the speech at the DNC, he was very charismatic. And that's the
very.
When he ran the first time, I voted for him.
Yeah, I did too.
I admit it.
But, you know, back to that, I thought... Hillary was going to be it. I started paying more attention to politics. Again, I had always had my quote-unquote expertise, which doesn't exist, in politics was at the local level, the county level, and the state level. I had some idea about national, but I really focused on because it affected me the most.
You always had your toes in the water, mm-hmm. even when we were high school. Because I remember when in 91, when we went to Desert Storm.
Right.
You were more aware of what was going on politically than anyone else in the group, you know.
Do you think that your, I'm going to say specifically your job that moved you here got you more involved, but then also your position with the union.
So
did that maybe start things for you too?
Yes, on both. But yeah. I would say that the job that brought me here wasn't exactly it. It was peripheral.
Okay.
The union piece of it, and to be frank, or George, or whatever, I started out as an association,
right?
Member. I got voted as a representative, which was nothing, really. Showed up to a meeting one day, and the only person that was there besides employees, as far as the board, was the treasurer.
Right.
And it was about, 15, 20 minutes before I'd been slated to go get the treats. So I was grabbing sodas and waters and I think cookies. Hell, I don't remember. And I walked in and got everything set up. There was a couple buddies of mine who went with me to help, and I kind of looked around and I sat down next to the treasurer and I said to her, I said, "Where is everybody?" And she turned and looked at me, and I had a good relationship with her. And she said, "Didn't you get the email?"
Apparently not.
I said, "Well, I checked my email, but I don't remember seeing anything." She's like, "Let's go out in the hallway." She pulls up her BlackBerry. No, Palm Pilot.
Oh, geez.
Like,
yeah, it was this a few years ago. Yeah.
Was it a Palm Pilot? Like the first real big? Yeah. Palm I think Pilot? It was a yeah. Palm yeah. Pilot. She pulled it up. She showed it to me, and it was the entire board had resigned. And the only thing they forgot was to put my name in it. And when I talked to one of them later, they said it was honestly an oversight. I had worked, and I knew that they had called a board meeting a couple days before. I'm sorry, 2 days before. I was working, so I was unable to attend it, and they just forgot. And the reason that they had resigned was because they were getting a lot of flack from not our elected official, but elected officials who controlled our budget quite a bit. And so the way that the bylaws and constitution of the association were written was that whoever the next in line was to assume the presidency. And so I kind of chuckled about it. A good friend of mine who worked with me and who had kind of pushed me to become the representative for our division, and who was big into politics, he really kind of said, "Man, I'm gonna help you through this, and we're gonna make it." So I walked into that meeting and I gaveled us in, which was, we were not based on Robert's Rules of Order at the time. It was very loose. It was very relaxed. And I read what they had said in the reason that they had all stepped down. They just didn't feel they could make any progress. Who am I? Yeah. I'm a guy who's been on the job for, 4 years, 5 years at the time, 4 years at the time. And I didn't know shit from shinola. You know what I mean? I was still green, and I was still green on the job, let alone for this association thing. So I gaveled in the meeting, and obviously we had to hold an election. So we did that for the next month. And I didn't put my name in the hat for president. I didn't want it. And somehow I won with only two dissenting voices, or two dissenting votes. And those two votes were for the president who had stepped down.
No.
Obviously, he didn't want
it.
He's
not going back.
The cool part about this was that the board that resigned showed up to the next meeting.
Okay.
They addressed the situation. They weren't there to, promote anything. They weren't there to do anything other than give the explanation and, that they still plan to be part of it and to help in any way possible.
Members, but correct. We're not going to lead this.
Yeah. And, they were great in teaching me.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't run for president, but won it. I had encouraged the friend of mine who was kind of consulting me to run for vice president, because I truly believed that the former president would come back. The two dissenting votes were mine and the buddy that I asked to run for vice president. They were the only two that voted for him. Everybody else said, "You're it." So we took it over.
Yeah, went like this?
Basically.
Not it.
Yeah. And the worst part about it was I learned quickly about accounting. I learned quickly about Robert's Rules of Order because I realized, not through anything nefarious, but when I opened the books, we had a horrible unfunded liability. Mm. Part of being a member of the association was that legal fees would be covered in the event of a on-the-job catastrophe, and we had a case that had just happened, you know, 2 or 3 months before, and when we looked at it was a bad deal. And so we quickly went from being an association, we became a union, and I ended up staying as the president of that until, I want to say it was 2011. And in the meantime, that's when the local politics really played.
Right.
Yeah, because now you got to deal with those people.
Right. About 2 years after is when the national politics kind of came into my forefront because I realized that this was a bigger issue and that we weren't the only ones facing the issues we were facing.
Right.
And so I ran for the state vice president's job. So it was kind of a hierarchy. I was still the president of our local.
Right.
And I ran to become a state board member and won that. I think it was in 2011, mm-hmm. If I remember correctly. And then I stepped down in 2020. But yeah, the
politics... I didn't realize you were still in it when you moved up here.
I was. I was in it for just about a year. And
that
the
explains
only reason,
some things, though.
The only reason I stepped down was because I thought it was a little bit of a conflict with my new position.
Right.
Telling your story of how you became the president kind of reminds me of... And kind of... It reminds me of George Washington. He really didn't want to be president. He didn't want to be king. He didn't want to. He didn't really want it.
Right.
But there was nobody else.
And that's it. And that was it.
By default,
every 2 years that I would.
No gives backs.
Last independent we ever had as a president, by the way.
Exactly. Every year that I. So we had elections every 2 years. Like, I can't remember if it was every year or every 2 years. I always told everybody, I don't need this, so don't feel that you have to nominate me. Inevitably, I ran unopposed.
You weren't fucking up, so that they were happy with you being there.
Exactly.
So why change things?
Like, you could have turned down the nomination, but then again, who else is left?
Exactly. So I ran unopposed all but 4 elections, which doesn't seem like a lot, but really it was. You know, to not be opposed, and it wasn't that I was doing a great job. I wasn't. I was doing as directed by the membership.
But nobody else was.
But nobody else wanted to do it.
We need to bring the migrants in here.
And right, exactly. So the one thing that I think probably cemented me into that position for a long period of time was because a few months after I got it, I had made it a point to sit down with our elected official, who was kind of our boss, and say, look, I don't know what I'm doing here. I know why the board resigned. I don't know all the details. Can you fill me in and then give me some direction? He did. And he gave me a bit of advice that I chewed on for a long time. And I didn't follow through with it initially. Eventually, I took it to the membership. And the long and short of it, we took out a full-page ad. And very politely, very professionally, flipped off the county commissioners. By name, and I signed it. That was my job. And then it became a whirlwind. Yeah. And so, you know, that's my baptism into politics. My wife hates politics for that reason.
Right.
And I don't blame her. But I've been chewing on what you just said a minute ago about knowing a lot about Desert Storm.
No, it was, you were talking about the politics.
Right.
And you educated us as a friend, you know, in our quick group, and, you know, I can't speak for everybody, did my quick research and looked into it, and I'm like, okay, he's got a point, you know.
I don't remember.
And none of us liked First Bush. None of us really cared for him.
No taxes.
We loved when SNL used to make fun of
him. You know, Dana Carvey will always live in infamy as the church lady and George Bush.
Yep. Both Bushes.
Both Bushes. He was better at one than he was two, for sure. I hate politics. I really do. Right. But it's that sense, we talk about it all the time, it's the devil that you don't know, and if you ignore it, it will ruin you.
Yeah.
It will.
And when we first started talking about this podcast, we had a different vision.
We did.
And yeah, it wasn't going to be politics.
No, it wasn't. But we were still going
to... We're still trying to go back to what we originally thought.
We are. And I remember the episode, I think it was the third or fourth one, where we were like, well, look, here's what we're doing at the moment. And once this is all kind of blown past, we want to go back to what our initial goal was. And that was to get everyday people's everyday story.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and I missed that just thinking about it.
Well, you know, we've had a couple interviews mm-hmm. and both of them have been conversational.
I would say there were 3.5, maybe 4. But go ahead.
Okay.
They were conversational, those,
but I'm thinking of Chloe and then Ant, right. obviously. Now, they both had politics involved in them,
mm-hmm.
but it was conversational.
Right.
And that is the stuff that we've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten way better.
I think
their interview with Ant was the best show we've done so far.
I don't know. Monday's pretty damn good.
Monday's was good, yes. But I think when it comes to the interview type.
Agreed.
Go listen to Monday if you haven't already.
Yeah, you've got to. Well, what the hell are you doing here on Friday if you haven't listened to Monday? What the fuck? Don't forget Wednesday, too. Well,
if you look at our numbers, it trends that way.
It does. It does.
But, by far, Ant was the best. But that is one thing I've always wanted to go back to. Now, mm-hmm. we've got a couple of things lined up that.
Potentially.
Come.
We'll get us back to where we want to mm-hmm. be. And maybe. You know, we could do, if we can, do an interview show once a week and get rid of one of the
hopefully we can.
Politics shows, either Friday or Monday, whatever.
But while you're here and you have this, let's call it a platform, mm-hmm. if you will, is it as far reaching as anybody else? Who knows? But we are still trying to talk about things that are affecting our lives, and whether you know it or not, it is affecting your life.
Politics,
I like the way
is
you
culture.
Said that. I like the way you said that, because it was what you said was what you just said about culture. What Andrew Breitbart said was politics is downstream from culture. Now, you're right. We do plan on going back to at least somehow, or maybe we'd have to, Monday or Friday would come into a more of a let's get to know somebody type, or if we ever get to a point where this becomes our jobs, let me not say job, because job makes it, you have to go to work.
Yeah, gotcha.
If we ever make this our career, to where we get to do whatever we want in this platform on this stage, we put off another place where we're just talking to people. You're right, Chloe and Ant were big. I still think of Karen's interview of where she came from, Mary's story about where she came from, you and Mary's story about how you guys found each other. Those are the types of things.
Karen's, you're right. I apologize to Karen for not counting her as an interview, but that's the style that we want to go with, is somebody telling us their whole story. And if it's a multi-parter like mm-hmm. Karen's story was, that's fine. The story with me and Mary, you know, that was just something for the listeners to understand.
Sure.
Our little
how the dynamic.
Yeah. Goes. How yeah. our weird relationship happened, you know, and eventually, and this is what I'm foreseeing in our show, is when we get to
inside
our...
Inside the unrefined guys.
When we get to our stories, because we've got a fuckload of them.
We've been teasing that for a long time.
It'll probably have to be Karen interviewing us while we're telling the story.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Her and Mary could tag team it.
Yeah.
No, don't give Mary that. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, when...
It's okay, Mary, I'll bring you along.
Somebody...
Can I play with the buttons?
No. I wanted to just take a quick detour for a quick second. Somebody asked me the other day at work. They said, well, you guys always had the two of you, and then Karen's been like more... So is Karen going to be part of the show? And I said, well, yes, and...
Yeah.
I said, it's always been kind of in our heads that we would have a producer, somebody who would be our Jamie. If you ever listen to Rogan, Jamie interacts. He, you know, he does his thing. But in my opinion, and I'm not saying this is a negative, Rogan kind of beats Jamie up a little too much.
He beats the shit out of him.
He treats him a little dumb. And I, look, that could be their relationship.
Robin, you know,
that could be their relationship, and that's the way they do it. Great for them. But they said, well, are you going to change the name? And I said, no.
No.
Because
Guys doesn't refer to male.
Guys, well, A, it doesn't refer to male, but B, this is Bear and I's, I don't want to call it baby, but it's kind of our baby.
It's our baby, yeah.
Karen
knows that.
Karen is our levity. She is
our ground.
Our grounds, yeah. More than you'll ever know. She's our fact checker.
Yeah.
She is our idea bouncer. She's our time checker. Which we never pay attention to.
Yeah, we ignore her.
She'll
on that
still
one.
Tell us, "Hey, you guys are like way over time. Cool, we'll wrap up in an hour."
You'll notice I haven't ever tried, nor do I want to. Say, I'm Tommy. I'm Bear. Oh, and I'm Karen.
Right.
I don't need to chime in with that. I'm here. Well, and sometimes I say a lot, and sometimes I don't.
Somebody, where was it?
I like having the opinion of a female.
Thank you. That was exactly what I was just getting ready to say. We're two dudes. Dudes have masculine thought processes. Dudes have masculine, manly brain farts. Having somebody go,
I mean,
hold on a minute.
Right.
Is a great balance.
It is. I'll say something and she'll be like, well.
Is Karen going to be here forever? I mean,
maybe.
She's got
maybe
her
not.
Life. She's got things that she's got irons in the fire right
yep.
now.
Yep.
Will she be able to hit every episode? I don't know. But. We're going to get to a point. We are going to get to a point where we're going to need somebody sitting in that chair, and whether it be Karen or whether it be somebody else who we get to hire, it's still going to be Karen's chair, even if somebody else sits there from time to time.
Yeah.
Right now, I have a day that I can dedicate to right. being here for you guys. And
once we go to Monday through Friday or whatever day we right. decide our
then
work day,
I probably will have to
she's
step
gonna
out.
Have, well, no, not step out. She's just going to have to pick when she's able to sit.
Right.
But like Bear said, that the guy's part, yeah, when we first sat down, we had a lot of things.
Well, our first episode, we went with the definition of the unreformed right. guys. And the guys, we made it very clear, wasn't...
Non-sexual.
Yeah. Guys is a plural word for
use
a group
guys.
Of people.
Use guys.
It's a group of people. And
all
so,
y'all.
Do we have to add another picture to our logo? No.
No.
Because it will always be Tommy no. and Bear's show.
Exactly.
Think about this. Howard Stern.
Right.
He doesn't have all of his staff in there.
Can you imagine how big his logo would be? If it was?
Almost as big as his head.
right?
I hope that by me being here doesn't alter what you guys are talking about.
No, like you're not
holding
listen to
back.
Us.
I know that, but let our listeners know for sure that I am not.
Oh no!
Listen,
no.
Karen has
keeping
been
you from
around.
Talking about tugging.
No.
Karen has been around for so long.
No,
that I'm one of the guys.
She knows
yeah,
us.
Exactly.
She knows us. She knows that we're not going to hold back just because she's here.
No.
Now, when I first met her, we filled each other out, sniffed each other's buttholes a little bit, if you will, proverbially.
Tommy really tried to make
and
me run.
I did, you know. I do that.
He was sticking up for his brother.
I do. And, you know, so I don't believe that there is anything different than from Karen sitting here to some random stranger sitting in the same seat. We are who we are.
Yeah.
We make no apologies for it.
Nope.
And so I thought it would be important because I know if somebody asked me face to face that there's probably people wondering, so is this going to somehow change the dynamic?
No.
Karen's been here the multiple times that we recorded early on and she didn't have a microphone. She was still sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
My wife on many occasions has sat here, up until the chemo or me made her nauseous. and you know, my wife, unlike Karen, my wife really despises politics.
Yeah. Well, and Karen's not a huge she's not into politics that much. She's gotten more into it, but
I recognize its importance.
Right. Sure.
And I really appreciate, like, how many years ago was that, like, one of the forbidden topics? You don't talk about religion, taxes, or
2008.
You don't talk about
religion,
politics,
or relationships,
or money.
Oh, I forgot about the money part. Maybe it's because I don't have any.
But I think those are important things to talk about.
Sure.
And if anything needs to be normalized, this is one of the things that should be normalized.
Look what happened as a result of us not talking about them.
Exactly.
We as a society got railroaded by our politicians that we believed were in there doing something in our best interest when the reality was the only people they were looking out for was themselves.
Exactly.
And so now it's our turn to say, time for us to look out for ourselves.
Eve. Been fired.
we should get that soundbite. You know, I found a soundbite that I've always wanted to work into the show, and it doesn't fit at all. But you know what?
That's kind of what we do here.
Since we're here,
but while we're talking about Karen, real quick, yes. I want to do this. I want to say this, and I'm not kissing her ass. I would protest that with her on the show. It's actually made us a little better.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
So having her as the producer for the last month,
about 2 months ish.
It's actually gotten us better.
Yeah, it's been about 2 months. I was just looking at my notes and I started doing the ChatGPT thing for descriptions in February.
It was about a month ago when we started doing, and I've had to alter those just because sometimes I've noticed
repetitive. Today's I hand wrote, so we'll see how these are different. I did not use a helper.
That would be cool to see.
So we'll see if they're.
It's in here. I know it is. I just didn't realize it was that.
But yeah, it wasn't me kissing her ass, but I would say.
Thank you.
She has brought something else to the show. That's made us a little bit better.
So this is my opinion, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or right. Because
you're wrong.
Okay, perfect.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've noticed that when my wife sits here, I'm going to turn this down just in case.
When your wife sits here,
when my
you're
wife's,
more guarded.
Well, I don't think so. Because maybe I am, and I just don't realize it. But what I... Jesus.
Have to open my... While you're looking for that. I've had to... force myself to keep telling myself in my head, you know, because there's things I've said or I'm about to say that I'm like, well, she's gonna be pissed if I say this because she's sitting right next to me, I'm gonna get decked. But if I hold back, both these motherfuckers are gonna call me out.
Mm-hmm.
So I have
and
to
I'm,
say
I'm
it.
Trying to do a tell me when I don't, but I'm trying to hold my tongue when you're telling a story and not correct you on little minutia detail.
That's a
like,
good
no, that's
idea.
Not how it. That's not how it went.
It's my story, damn it.
Yeah, I'm like, no, that's it's so, fair show. It's his story. Let him tell it.
Maybe I'm going to tell
you
a
just
guy.
Just called me a liar in front of everybody.
I no, think she called you a fabricator.
I'm a politician.
The person's name was George, not Fred. You got it wrong, that kind of thing.
So, and maybe guys are going to be pissed off at me, but and maybe I'm the only one, but I think maybe I'm not. I have been in some public-facing positions in my life.
Yes.
And I have noticed that when my wife is present at such events, and I don't do them anymore, but I used to be public-facing quite a bit. When my wife was present, when she first started, it would make me nervous. And I don't know why, but what I noticed quickly was as I got confidence in that public position.
You're talking about public speaking or?
Well, speaking or just in
being
general.
Being at functions.
Speaking, teaching a class, okay. Being in the public eye.
Right.
I noticed initially I was nervous and I was like, that's so weird because I've been doing this for a while and I've never been nervous and now she's here and I'm nervous and it doesn't make sense. But then as I started to think about it, I thought, well, it does make sense. Because no matter, at least in my case, no matter how long we've been together, I still want to show up.
Show off. Yeah.
Or impress.
I want her to be proud of what I'm doing or what I'm saying or, you know, what. And so when she has sat here in the past, I feel like I do a little bit better. I come off a little bit more. Prideful, and maybe that's not the right word, but that's the only thing that's coming to my head right now, where I feel like maybe if I can butter her up, she'll put out. And I'm jokingly,
no,
but
I
seriously.
I know what you're talking about, and I 100%.
Yeah, it's
agree.
It's like
I recognized that myself when I was a truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pull into some place and there'd be this really difficult place that I had to back into. And if there was people watching me saying, oh, she'll never get it, she's not going to do it.
She's a girl.
I would have to show off.
Right.
And say, watch this motherfucker.
Right.
And it's that same kind of thing.
I think so, yeah. Because I want her to, even if she doesn't understand or doesn't care, I want her. Do you ever catch yourself taking a little extra time once in a while to look better or to
you talk about me?
Yeah.
I mean, no.
Never.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, I have.
Like, you guys might be going to dinner or something, and you just
yes,
you take a little extra.
Yeah, no, there's been those times where I will, for me, dress up.
Sure. I want her to look at me and go, damn.
And it's for her, even though she always busts my balls and is like, right. Who the fuck are you looking good
exactly,
for? You
know? Exactly. And it's always, it feels good to know that even after all those years, I can still turn her head.
Yes.
I can still, and so how does that translate here? Well, early on when she'd sit here before, you know, the cancer and the treatments and everything, I would try to do better.
Mm, I get you.
And, you know, often, even though I know that she doesn't listen to this show, it's not true crime, it's not drag queens, she ain't listening to it. If I think to myself, look, she's going to listen, and so you want to be best foot forward, it gives me a little bit of, I don't know, this feeling of accomplishment that I can still get the juices flowing, if you will. And it's just an oddity. And I think whether it's the case or not, we got better because men show off, even if it's not to the wives. I've found like when we've been at your guys' place and Jeff and Mary show up, I'm more comfortable sometimes, not always, but I can find the comfort. Like when people are around, it's more natural.
Yeah.
As opposed to when we first started doing this, the unreleased shows, there were times I'd listen to them and think, dear God, nobody's going to listen to this because
pretty much is the same thing that went through my head.
Right. You know, because we were stiff.
Yeah.
Even though we were just having conversations that we've done for 38 years.
At that time, did it kind of feel maybe it was forced a little bit?
It did.
Not a little bit.
There was times I felt I was forcing it.
It felt like it was all fake.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah.
Several times. I think it took me personally, I think it took till the fourth or fifth time, maybe the third or fourth time, where I finally kind of went, okay, it's just Bear. We're just having a conversation. You know, because there were, throughout this entire adventure, there's been times where he's had to, I don't want to use the term drag me along, but kind of guide me in a specific direction. There's been times where I've had to push him into a different direction. And we complement each other, and having you knowing our situation, knowing our lives, knowing our story is some bit of a comfort, so that if we have an odd moment where for whatever reason we sound rehearsed or we sound like we're forced, we can look at you and say, all right, well, I'm going to tell her the story because he already knows it, or whatever the case might be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Have overcomplicated the fuck out of
this?
We did. Good. You know, that's what we do.
We didn't have to go through our story again.
Yeah, we did.
But adding, because, you know, I've had a couple people concerned about Karen taking over the show. And I said, Karen's not taking over the show. And she's an added part of the show.
Yeah, it's
every show has somebody that's been added to it. And I don't give a fuck what you think.
Bingo.
I'm happy with her being here. Tommy's happy with her being here. That's what matters. We don't really care if you are not happy about it, because this is where we're comfortable. This is our show, not yours. If you want your own show, you know, set up your podcast and do it yourself.
But we'd prefer you to just become a member by going to patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. And signing up to be a member, and then we'll take more into account your critiques, and we'll consider making little adjustments as needed. Did I mention that if you go to patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained, you could become an official tugger today? for just $2.50 a month.
For as little as.
I keep doing that. This show is made possible because of listeners like you, and we want you to be critical, we want you to be thoughtful, and we want you to make good decisions. But above all, don't be a dickhead.
Don't be a dickhead.
Head over to RavenCrestTactical.com. Check out their great line of knives. They've brought back the Build Your Own Knife. You can customize any knife that they have in stock. And it's amazing. They have cut prices across the board. It's not just a gimmick. They've cut them because they realize the economy is in the shithole. That's written right there in the card. They said shithole.
Yes.
No, they didn't. So they want to make these knives as affordable as possible. And when you go to the checkout screen, just add TUGS in the
promo code,
T-U-G-S, and you'll get an extra discount on top of it all. Plus, we'll get a little help from that as well. So becoming a Tugger and buying a knife from RavenCrestTactical.com, if you could buy a knife about once every other month, that'll help us greatly.
They should go through our website to get to the link for us.
They could do that as well.
We would appreciate it.
But that TUGS gives them the same.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I had to work like hell to get that done. And the guys there are amazing to work with. Once I explained it to them why it was a little bit difficult, they were like, nope, completely understand. We'll get back to you. They sure did. And so now, instead of going to the website, you don't have to. You can, because we'd love to get the numbers on our website. But you can go just enter TUGS in the promo code, and that'll give you a discount. It's been a hell of a week.
Been fun.
We never talked about the blizzard of 2024.
No, it wasn't a blizzard.
That's why we didn't talk about it. Until next time, have a great weekend. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
We are the Unrefined Guys.
You want an honest man, but you don't understand. I won't be here when you wake up again.